Hello, KCIW listeners, and welcome to Curry Cafe, where we put together a panel of volunteers and guests who discuss various topics from whimsical and fun to more serious subjects.
Here we are once again at the Curry Cafe, and I have, as always, gathered up some of the smartest people I could find to discuss this subject. Unfortunately, I could only find two people besides myself that know enough about the subject to talk about. My name is Ray Gary, by the way, and as you can already tell, this is a very informal discussion program. So today I have two people. Today we're going to be talking about gun violence and what, if anything, can be done about gun violence. So I will go to my left and have Shirley introduce herself.
Hi, this is Shirley Hyatt, and this is a very touchy subject, I'm certain, and we'll see what happens. What do you think, Rick?
Yes, hello, Rick McNamer, volunteer here at KCIW. Admittedly, not a big gun person, but this subject, albeit a third rail, I guess, of politics, is one that's probably near and dear to most people's hearts, so looking forward to getting into this.
Good.
Okay, I started researching this, and I was looking up all the stats and everything, and I said, well, okay, I think everybody knows these numbers, or at least pretty close to knowing them. There's over 40,000 people a year are killed by guns and killed in gun violence in this country. And when we hear that, we think, well, the mall shootings and school shootings, but there's a whole lot of other shootings too. There's an awful lot of shootings and, you know, one-on-one type things that we never hear in the news. Also, of that 40,000, about half or a little less than half are suicides. So people would like to say that's not a gun violence situation, but it is, because suicide is an impulsive act often. They've interviewed people who have survived suicide attempts, and they said, well, they actually thought about it for about 2 minutes before they did it, or a very short period of time. It's an impulsive act. So if you are experiencing this impulsive act and you don't have a gun, well, then you got to go buy a rope, or you got to go get some drugs that aren't going to work, or you got to do something. And often by the time you do those things, you've changed your mind. And often you'll fail. But guns are quick and easy and extremely effective. Bullet in the right place and you're dead.
Well, that's a cheerful thought. I wonder, as the only woman sitting here, how that relates to women. People say that women choose poison as opposed to some other method if they want to kill someone or maybe even kill themselves. I don't know if that's true or if it even relates to gun violence, but gun violence in itself, to me, it's like, first of all, you have to believe that that having a gun is your right to have it and that you can use it as you wish because it is your right. And that leaves the door open to all kinds of terrible issues. I have a little story to tell. Supposedly it's true, about a little girl who was 9 years old, and for her birthday, this was on her bucket list, they said, and I just can't imagine a 9-year-old girl having a bucket list, but never mind. Anyway, she wanted to go to the shooting range, and so her parents took her to the shooting range for her bucket list 9th birthday, and she promptly killed the instructor. So I think it's a little too easy for people to say, oh, well, sure, yeah, let's take the kids out and let them shoot. Now, when I was growing up, I remember my oldest brother had a 45 that he got, I don't know how he got, and he wasn't in the military, but this would have been in the 40s. And he would shoot once in a while tin cans that he lined up. And maybe that's the sport, you know, that comes from, hey, I've got a good eye, I can aim it at something and I can shoot it. That has nothing to do with killing people. That seems like something pleasurable that people get out of going to a shooting range and saying, yeah, I can hit that target. I can do that. This is on me to aim this thing and to get what I aimed at. So there's some feeling of success, perhaps, in being able to shoot straight, shall we say? Maybe that has nothing to do with gun violence, but it has to do with the fact that people enjoy, put that in quotes, having a weapon of some variety that they can take aim at something, a target of some, and feel good about it. So there's sort of a lure around it. Is that the right word?
Yeah, very much.
Help me out here.
Well, very much so. There's a love affair with guns. I think it's increased over the years. I don't understand how it gets so intense. I did the same thing too, shoot tin cans, glass bottles, whatever. It was kind of exciting as a kid. But it has morphed, to me, it has morphed into almost lunacy with the love affair of, but not only guns, of assault weapons. I know that, you know, people get into the word salad of what is exactly an assault weapon. But real quick, a little research here if I can find it. Sorry. But an assault weapon, well, basically it said, designed for military use for quick and efficient killing.
Yeah.
What do people need those in their homes for? I don't know.
Well, if you see the Colt ads, you'll see that they're an excellent way to get rid of coyotes.
I guess many coyotes.
I kind of like coyotes, so I don't.
Well, I know. Yeah, me too. And again, I hunted a little bit as a kid. I never found it, you know, my thing. And I know a lot of people love it. And I get that to a point. But I don't understand that what I call a love affair with these high-capacity weapons that are really just designed for killing. And I don't even see that as a home defense.
I know a guy who has who's a gun wanker, but I don't think he even hunts, but he does have a number of guns, and he had a AR-15 with a bump stock. I don't know how you can afford to shoot that. I mean, that goes through 100-round magazine in a minute.
Well, I was going to say, you know, the romance around this, you know, for families to say, well, each one of my kids is going to have one of these things. It's like, there's something else going on there. It's like, look at me, in a way. But having a weapon of war, as you say, what is the point? What is the point of that? It's not about even the gun anymore. It's sort of a status. I'm in this group of people who all think that this is the right thing to do. And, you know, a whole family standing in a picture, each one of them has got an AK-47, and they're proud of it, and they're smiling, and they're thinking, and I'm thinking, what the heck? You know, what have we become as people who think that it's not only our right, but everybody ought to have one, because why? Because why? Because the government will come and take your gun away from you, and you better be able to shoot them before they get to you. Can you explain that? What is it about?
Well, along with the love affair, you know, you talk about I've seen a lot of politicians use that as Christmas cards with their whole family,
yeah,
from mom, dad, little kids holding assault weapons. I mean, I find that odd, but there is a tie-in, in my opinion, to religion and guns. It seems this...
What religion, though?
Mostly the white white Christian nationalism. That's where the militias are these days, I feel.
What did Clinton say?
What's that?
They're clinging to their Bibles or guns.
Oh, they're, yeah.
What was the third
you know
thing?
What? Was it Hillary that said that?
I thought it was Bill Clinton.
It might have been. Whoever it was. Me personally, when I heard that, I thought, you know, that was pretty true.
I thought
they
it was
got hammered
that
said. Pretty hard for that. Probably lost a lot of votes. I don't know, but there is a faction, I think, in this country that does that. They align the Bible, Jesus Christ, and assault weapons, and I don't get it.
You know, As far as owning an assault weapon, I think the standard for owning an assault weapon is if you want one, you can have it. If you're the kind of person who wants an assault weapon, you shouldn't be allowed to have
it. Oh, okay. Because I think you can still, I'm not 100% up on the laws. I think you can still get them in certain cases. I don't.
Aren't they horribly expensive?
Yeah, I think we could go right up the street right now.
Okay.
There's a gun store, and I'm pretty sure.
Okay. All right.
Just walk in and buy it.
But don't they cost like $1,000 or something?
They cost probably more than that by the time, you know, they're so in demand, you know, maybe they retail for $800, but probably get $5,000.
Well, I don't know. I just don't get it.
Yeah, they're very expensive.
And real quick, the Second Amendment is always a part of this. So it reads briefly, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Okay. Sounds
so
fairly simple.
We should be able to have howitzers.
Well, that
hand grenades.
And again, it was written back
50 caliber machine guns
when late 1700, early 1800. You know, a whole different world.
What I'm saying is, we've already infringed on those rights, and there are people who think that individuals should have everything the military has.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Right, and I certainly don't agree with that.
But it's in the Second Amendment.
Well, I don't think the Second Amendment is sacrosanct like a lot of people think it is.
What?
Well, again, we're talking opinions there. And by the way, we were hoping to have at least one other person here today on possibly another side, but we don't. So bear with us
We'll have to just get by somehow.
We will get by.
Well, the other thing is we record the show every week, and if you would like to come in and give another side or join the discussion.
You bet.
Yeah, we can certainly do a second or third show on this. So kciw.org, Curry Cafe, and send us a note, say, hey.
Yeah, would welcome that.
Well, I want to go back to what you were just saying, Rick, and put my two cents in here. I may have a misunderstanding on this. It's very likely that I do. But I think there are certain pockets of people who do believe that they need to be armed, and this is referring to the language in the Second Amendment, they need to be armed against their own government. And that is really what this is about, because the government to them at the time was the British. If the British are going to come and try to take away our newly established laws that we're creating for this country of people who want to, by the way, get away from religion, organized religion. There was a lot of that about it. We don't want the Church of England telling us how we can pray to our version of God, whatever that is. So we're going to separate the church and the state. Because the Church of England, the king was the head of the church. So there was no separation between church and state. That's what all of that was about. So that when you say, okay, we want to be free of that, we want to be, you know, able to be armed as a militia against our own government if it turns on us. Okay, so this is, I guess, the way it's been twisted around for people to say, well, we have to be armed against the other side, the other political side, because the government is coming to take your guns so that you won't be able to arm yourself against them and they can take over your world, so to speak. I mean, am I telling it like it is, or am I got a weird version here?
A year or so ago, I had lunch with a friend of mine who's not entirely balanced, I'll have to say. And he shocked me during the lunch by saying that he wants to get a gun. And this is not the kind of person who would own a gun. And I said, what do you want a gun for? And he says, oh, to protect myself. I said, you really think you need to protect yourself? He says, yes, well, I have to protect myself from the government. Or somewhere along the line, he had gotten into something where he thought the government was coming. I said, have you ever seen a Black Hawk helicopter in action? I said, you know, you're Glock or whatever you get is not going to protect you against the government if they want to come get you.
Well, I want to ask if anyone here understands why people would have that belief in the first place? Because if it's based, a lot of this is based on that. Where does that come from? Why do people fear their government is going to come and take away their right to own a gun? Who put that thought into the ethers? What's that about?
Well, I'm certainly no historian here, but like you were talking about, back, yes, when they were breaking away from England, that probably made sense to them. But in these times, again, I think it has morphed into craziness. I mean, are we really that afraid of them? Number one, I don't think anybody's coming to, quote, get their guns. We would just like some regulation, some common sense laws, if you will. But even any common sense laws on the pro-gun side, they don't seem to want to have any restrictions at all.
Everybody, just about everybody, except maybe a small faction, are in favor of background checks. Now, the current background checks we have now are caca. I mean, there's, first of all, your background check won't kick in unless you've actually done something and been charged or somehow or other wound up on the list. But we probably all know people who should not have a gun.
What about a waiting list?
Yes.
A waiting time.
Oh, well, that's
part of it.
That's part of it, I think.
Yes. And that's, I think, applies in some places to some guns. I don't think.
Well, yeah.
I think you could just go in a gun store and buy a gun. I'm not sure, but I think that's true. Some places have a waiting list for certain types of guns.
And that is part of the problem to me. I think it should be a federal blanket law, if you will, so each state is not different. In other words, I know that there's been an argument about the gun violence in Chicago, yada, yada. They have strict gun laws, but they can go to Wisconsin, I don't know where, to get guns and then just bring them across. I just think it should be.
I saw an interview from a woman who lives in Chicago, I think, and she said she has to have a gun to protect herself to go to the bus stop because it's a crazy place that she lives in. You know, kids are killed in their crib by gangs shooting at each other, and they fire through the window of somebody, and it's happened more than once. A woman taking her three-year-old to the park, and shooting breaks out, and a three-year-old's dead.
I wonder if we've got a breakdown, pardon the word, but of the age group of people who are most likely to be the ones who are doing the shooting. Now, if you look at school shootings, I don't know this for a fact, but I think they were young men, maybe 18 to 24,
or most of them,
who were the ones who were actually doing that. Now, the reason I bring this up is to say, if you're returned military, for example, you might have a gun, and you would be well trained on how to use it, hopefully. But you wouldn't be the same mentality unless you're the old expression, shell-shocked, or if you're having all kinds of emotional and psychological problems. It's the young, impulsive kid who gets a bee in his bonnet to decide that somehow this is the right thing to do. I'm interested to know if the people who commit the most gun violence are in that younger bracket. Even the gangs that you mentioned, Ray, those aren't, we're not talking mafia, grown-up men. We're talking about young boys, young men. Is that your understanding?
I don't really have one. That's not something I've looked into. But when you picture gun violence in the inner cities, you certainly picture people in their 20s or younger. But I don't know
men.
That's just what
I mean.
Picture.
Yes, there have been a couple of women, but that would be an anomaly. Mostly, I believe it is young men.
Okay, so let's just say, why is that? Because young men don't have the maturity and the experience to be able to harness their own impulses, so to speak, to recognize the roles that they're playing and what they're doing. It's more of an indoctrination, maybe. They're more easily led into a belief system that says this is the right thing to do. I don't know that I'm well enough versed to recite this, but I think that if they are using the internet and they're saying, okay, this is how I feel, this is what I'm going to do, and look at me, because I've had enough and I'm going to go and take revenge on these people. I'm thinking of the young man, I think it was a young man, who drove all the way to the town in
El Paso.
No, drove it in New York, I'm thinking of. He went to the all-black community with grocery store because he knew that's where he'd find them. And that's why he did it. It was calculated.
Yeah.
And he had a particular gripe that, now, I hope I'm right in saying that I think that was a young guy who got his mind sort of filled with this anger, and the only way to resolve it was to kill people. There's something about the very act of saying, I was able to kill those people. And that's the thing that I think needs to be explored. If you really want to kill people, how are you going to do it? You could take a baseball bat or a knife or whatever, but the quickest way to do it, for the most bang for your buck, so to speak, is to have an automatic weapon. And maybe there's the lore itself in that.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
Of course.
Get as many as you can.
Almost a romance about it.
Well,
again, the quick and efficient killing, that's what the assault weapons are for.
The pro-gun people will tell you that you can drive your minivan into a parade and kill a bunch of people, too.
Well,
you don't need a gun.
You can, I suppose.
Yeah.
But again, that starts, to me, it's apples and oranges sometimes.
Of course it is.
Surely it was
this idea to have a gun in your house to protect yourself from an invasion, a home invasion. I'm a little skeptical when I hear about these home invasion things. Typically, burglars do everything they can to find out that nobody's home before they want to commit a burglary. They don't want to confront somebody. But by the way, in burglaries, my experience as a state trooper, guns are the most stolen thing. If somebody knows you have a lot of guns, you're likely to be burglarized. But anyway, having a gun in the house is much, much more likely to hurt somebody in the house than it is to save you from an invasion. The suicide thing, having the handy gun, because your team lost a big game and you're already depressed anyway, and why bother? And you go to your nightstand and get that Glock and shoot yourself in the head, as opposed to have to go buy a rope, get some poison, and the gun will work. It will work.
Well, now here's another part of this that I think is very interesting, and that is the message is, if you've got guns, lock them up. So I'm thinking, okay, we need all these guns, but we're going to lock them up. And we're going to lock them up because we don't want a member of our family to be able to get their hands on this weapon. So who's got the key to the cabinet? You know, who?
And do you say, wait a minute, excuse me.
Yeah.
I'll accommodate your...
Right, wait till I unlock my gun cabinet.
I can't quite remember the combination, yeah.
Well, so what you're saying is there's the pistol that's in the nightstand drawer or the small handgun that's under your pillow, and then there's the whole rack of rifles of all kinds of varieties, and that supposedly is locked up. And so when you really need it, you got to find the key. I mean, it's like the whole thing is just so insane. It doesn't make any sense.
If you don't do that, if you don't lock your guns up, and... there are lots of cases where the four-year-old found the gun, was already on the coffee table or something, and picked it up and went bang, bang to the three-year-old brother or sister.
Does happen. But I'm just saying there's some irony here that you know, you teach people that they need the gun, you convince them that they've got to have the gun or else. But be sure and lock it up. And so, but at any second, you're going to need it. So that means we're going to have open carry, right? So now you're going to have a sidearm, so to speak. Now you can walk anywhere in certain states with your gun on display, and that's okay.
You can walk safely in Brookings. I've seen several around here wearing guns.
Do people in Oregon have the right to open carry?
I don't know what kind of a permit it's...
I understand the answer to that question is yes. But I personally have not seen people walking around with a gun.
I was at a show the other night, and the person I was with, she had a name for it. Rebel Without a Brain or something like that, she called it. You know, but
I personally, this is like 2 months ago, I was coming to the station down Railroad, and I saw a guy with a rifle. Now, again, I'm no expert, but it looked like an assault rifle. Let me just say that. Parading it right down Railroad Avenue like it was nothing. When I got here, I thought, gosh, do I call the police on that? And I didn't. I don't know the laws here, to be honest with you, if it's open carry.
I think that's probably legal. A couple of years ago, we had a Republican politician. I don't even know what he was, but he was holding a meeting at the Democratic office here. And a bunch of us went in there, wanted to ask him questions and stuff. But sitting outside, there were two guys in battle fatigues wearing guns. They didn't come with him. They just, for some reason or other, thought that they were going to do that. And another time Father Bernie was giving a talk, and some person kept interrupting him. And eventually Father Bernie says, well, now listen, you have a gun, and that concerns me. Well, my instinct as a cop kicked in, and I immediately went over to him. And I need to say I don't know if Debbie would like me mentioning her, but Debbie Foley was there too. She beat me to that guy. She was there before I was, but anyway.
And said what?
Just trying to say, you can just say be calm. Here. But yeah, put the gun in the car, put it away, that type of thing. He just said, well, we're having a discussion. You know, we could not get through to him. Obviously, this is not somebody who should have had a gun. I don't know what kind of a background check or anything to get a license to have a gun here to carry a concealed permit, but so many of these things are just nonsense. Many years ago, I think I might have even still been, no, I was just out of high school. I decided I wanted to get a hunting license. I lived in New York at the time, and at the time, to get a hunting license, you had to have a card from the NRA saying you've passed their hunter safety course or whatever it was. Oh, okay, so I mentioned that to a friend of mine. He said, forget about it. A week later, he has a friend who teaches that course, and they had a card for me. I never even saw the guy.
And there's another.
So if that's the kind of standard you have to get a license or a permit, that's...
Well, now you just brought up something, and that's the NRA. Now, the NRA is not government.
No.
So why would you go to the NRA to get a...
At that time, we're talking many years ago, the NRA was not what they are now.
Exactly.
Now they're a political action group. At that time, they really did do...
Gun safety courses for youth.
Speaking of the NRA, I was in a doctor's office a couple of years ago, and there was a copy of the American Rifleman on the table. That's the NRA magazine. And I'm flipping through it, and they have I think they do this every month. They had a little section about lives that were saved by a good guy with a gun, basically by an armed citizen. And it was about a quarter of the page, and they listed four or five things. And as I'm reading it, I'm thinking, if they did turn this around and said everybody that was killed by an accidental shooting or misuse of a gun or something like, they would have needed two or three more magazines. They couldn't have done it in a half a page.
Yeah, the good guy with the gun, that, I don't know, I think that came around a few years ago, maybe.
That was Wayne LaPierre, who's now in all kinds of trouble.
Yeah. Whatever. And yeah, the NRA has changed greatly. It is
it's
a crazy organization.
Power and money. I mean,
yes.
Come on.
The NRA is not defending gun owners. It's defending the gun companies.
And it wants to keep the gun.
Millions of dollars every year from the major gun manufacturers to continue this farce.
It has always blown my mind when the Sandy Hook is a great example. When that happened, I mean, the murder of that many young children and teachers and all of that. back then, I mean, I thought, okay, this is going to change the argument, I think, for a while, at least to have some better restrictions, and it did not.
I found out, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I don't think it did. It started out good, but like all, what do you hear all the time? Mostly from the gun people, the thoughts and prayers, we're concerned, but this is, now is not the time.
Mm-hmm.
Was a long time ago.
Whenever I hear that, you know, they said, we can't take action now because it's too hot and we're too pissed and all that. Well, let's take action on the last one now. We can forget this one. Let's go back. I found out about Sandy Hook. I was in Tucson in a Home Depot buying nails or something, and one of the employees came up to me and he says, oh, there's been another school shooting. He said 20-something kindergarten kids were just killed. So the politicians are going to have a field day with this one. I couldn't believe my ears that that was this guy's concern.
Right.
What was it, 21 kindergartners were killed?
It was in that area. I don't have the exact number, but it was, you know, horrific, like all the mass shootings are. And yeah, to say that, that's part of my issue. They seem to come to the defense of the gun rather than the children and
the worst of it is the guy that spoke up and said, oh, no, it didn't really happen.
Alex Jones, you know.
And there are people who still believe him. That I see bumper stickers around town every now and then, InfoWars.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Still there.
So people will go to great lengths to hold on to their belief system and to hold on to what, I mean, they don't want to be fed information that makes them have to change their mind. That's much too embarrassing, you know. But I want to ask if anybody knows why particularly somebody would choose to shoot people in a school. What is the point of that?
Well, I don't know if we could delve into that mind now. And again, the gun folks a lot of times use mental health as their argument. I mean, I agree. Somebody that does that is sick. Beyond sick, right? I mean, they've got to be mentally.
A lot of these have been diagnosed or it's been pointed out before that they were, in fact, having mental problems.
Right.
The one guy who used to go shoot to the shooting range with his mother, and I forget what he killed his mother, then he went and shot up the school.
Was that Sandy Hook?
Yeah.
Was that Sandy Hook? Oh, okay.
God, there's been so many, it's hard to keep the facts straight these days.
It was the teenage boys, I think, that... Can you remember that starts with a C? Was it in Colorado?
Oh, Columbine.
Columbine.
Those two teenage boys that dressed in black coats and hats and did the whole thing. They were the ones who really publicized the idea of walking into a school situation. But they went to that school. They were part of that school, and they had a personal grudge, I think. These other people... the other fellow, the one that you were just talking about, the Sandy Hook, he also had something to do with that school personally.
He'd been a student there.
Yeah, but with these other people, they have nothing to do with the school. They just walk into the school some reason.
The answer to all this, of course, is to have armed people in the school.
Well, I think
every seventh teacher should.
Think the kids should have a pistol?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah,
that'd put an end to that.
There was a school for a while that was issuing shields, armored shields, like a notebook that they could hide behind. Most schools today have active shooter drills when, like, the first day of the season. You have to go through a metal detector to get into your second grade classroom now. Right? And the people defending guns are saying is, well, we need to lock up these schools and we need to have bulletproof glass. I mean, excuse me, these are schools. They're not armed camps. They're talking about having more defense stuff than I had in a camp in Vietnam.
Well, it's a way to make it normal. It's a way to say, yeah, but this is how it is, so we have to go with that.
Yes.
No, it doesn't have to be that way. People are making it a choice because they don't want to be the ones that are disarming people. That just feels like the wrong thing to do. No, everybody should be armed because of the big bad guy out there that who knows? I mean, just look at what's happened. It could happen to you, you know, be prepared. And that's the most terrifying part, is there's some logic in that to people to say, yeah, you know, that happened. Oh, well, maybe it could happen here. Ooh, maybe we better, you know, people. And that scare factor is in there. And once you terrify people enough, you can get them to do anything.
People have guns, so I better have a gun. I have a story about a friend of mine. He worked at a job, at a business, and he got the business to the point where he was able to sell it and retire on the proceeds of the company. And he was like, maybe he was 40 years old, maybe a little older, I don't know. But he had a son. I remember when his son was born. You couldn't have pleased this guy more than to have a son. Now he had a hunting partner. He had a partner to do all these things with. Son could be a man like him. Well, one day his son was over, I think he was about 16 at the time. He was over at his friend's house, and his friend's parents happened to be NRE safety instructors, and his grandfather was the head of the NRA in Fairbanks. They're playing with the guns. The one kid kills my friend's son. It's a bullet through his head with the guns they're playing with. Now, I can relate to that. When I was a kid, we used to go to this one friend of mine's house whose father was a hunter, and we played with the guns all the time. And in fact, we made silencers for a .22 so we could shoot them out the back window. And I'm talking suburban Long Island, where everybody lived on a 60 by 100 plot. I don't think we ever killed any. But anyway, okay,
these
so this
single
is
single-shot weapons, though. These are single-shot weapons. Pull the trigger in the bullet.
Oh, yeah.
One shot.
We didn't have any automatic. Yeah. So a week or so after the shooting happened, I have the funeral and all that stuff. My friend is in the paper being interviewed. Don't blame the gun. He was so concerned about gun rights that the love of his life was killed by kids playing with guns. And he says, don't blame the gun. I don't know if I read what he did want to blame, because this kid certainly had all the safety instructions and everything for the guns.
But that is a prevalent attitude, I think, with a lot of the pro-gun people, if you will. And I think I'd said earlier, it's like even after Sandy Hook or some god-awful mass shooting like that, I see the quick thoughts and prayers from some of these people.
Yeah.
And then, oh, no, it's the gun. It's not the gun.
I think
part of it is the gun.
Yeah.
Yes, part of it is the mental
health. That's the common denominator in every single one of these.
Well, yeah.
Every single one of them, there's a gun at the bottom.
Right.
Right. Whether it's a mental health problem or what else.
But they don't want to blame the gun, because the gun itself didn't do anything. It was the person that did it. So, I mean, I understand that sort of ridiculous logic, but that is the point.
Yeah,
you know,
the point is that I ought
to be able to have a weapon, because you never know. I mean, you just never know. You never know. So I ought to be able to have one. Then don't tell me which one I can have, because there's no law that says I can't have any gun that I want, as long as I'm, what, over 15? I don't know. What is the law now? 21 or 18?
I don't know.
I mean, do you think, since I've sort of opened the door to that, do you think that it makes any difference if we try to say, okay, you're immature. At 18, you think you're might be able to vote or whatever, but you're immature. You're not really grown up enough to make these decisions. So we don't want you to have a gun until you're what, 21, 25? Should it be based on age? Should we have a law that says you need to go to the psychiatrist and be declared sane before we will offer you an opportunity to carry a gun? But
there,
you know, they become common. It's like anybody can have a gun.
That's a tough one.
You get a gun.
You shouldn't have to go to a psychiatrist, but you should have to pass an extensive background check that's real, not one of these phony things like your friend's father is an NRA instructor or something. You need to get a license, and the license needs to be fairly difficult to get. You need to have background checks that are real background checks, like somebody knocking on your neighbor's doors or going to your place from a real background check, not a phony thing. And then you can get a gun. Then if you have this license, you can get a gun. And if you are caught with a gun without that license, you are in a whole heap of trouble, boy. It should be a very serious crime.
Yes.
And this would be difficult to initiate, to get started. But once it was rolling, it would be...
I'm curious if anybody remembers when, I think in Australia, everybody turned in their guns.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what precipitated that. Do you remember that?
A mass shooting. And I don't know the details. I think it was the next day the head of state said, this is nonsense. Let's get rid of these guns. And it worked. And the guns, people turned them in a buyback, and there was all kinds of other things. And I think they're down to zero school shootings.
Boy, that would be great. I just don't think that would work here at all.
Well, yeah, no, it wouldn't. But people say, well, that's Australia. That's not America.
Well,
so Australia... That's kind of a similar background to us, you know. It's
yeah.
It's a wilderness, and they did their best to wipe out the indigenous people like we did.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of
exactly.
things.
Exactly.
Well, it was a penal colony for England.
Well, and again, back to the original, I want to get myself lost here real quick. You talked about, the indigenous people of Australia. When all the
Second Amendment, they actually had an extermination policy that was a lot more rigid than ours.
Okay. But all these, the founding fathers. I mean, a lot of that stuff was a great thing that they did. It was building the country, but they also did it only for a very. All men really weren't created equal in their thoughts. Women, African American slaves, indigenous people, blah blah blah. So we keep going back. A lot of the gun people I hear, it's, again, sacrosanct. It's in our blood to have these guns or whatever. It just was a different country. I think it's time to change the Second Amendment to
and
me.
And how would you change it?
Whew. Boy, I would put in that.
I'd put in that licensing requirement
or
a reason to have a gun.
In
New York, it used to be very, very, very few people could get a concealed weapons permit, and I don't know how much has changed.
Oh.
But you couldn't just go into the police department and get it. You had to have a reason to have a gun, like you carried money or something like that. And it would be very, very difficult to get, and I don't know if that's changed or not.
And I would certainly throw
that's a concealed handgun I'm talking about.
Okay, yeah. Okay. I would certainly throw in assault weapons,
things have
restrict
changed.
That. Again, would it be hard to get through this country at this time?
Well, I think if you, I'll just speak from a perspective as a person who would be against all war in the first place, but when people get all hyped up and their hatred gets stirred up, so that their fellow man is somebody that they fear or that they hate or both, then the next step is, well, let's get rid of them. We don't like those guys. Let's go get rid of them. So then you've got, aside from the gun issue, you've got planes being flown into the towers. There's another way to kill off people that you don't like. We've got countries invading one another because they want their people under subjugation. So the bottom line for me is it's about power. It's all about power. And you feel more powerful if you know you've got a high, gun that you can employ if you need to. Because on your own, if we were faced with just hand-to-hand combat, for example, people wouldn't get into so many fights, But knowing you've got that weapon there, and if somebody does you wrong, looks at you sideways, and you take it in a way that means they're big trouble, I better get him before he gets me, it's an indoctrination that leads us to thinking that a weapon is something that you absolutely must have because mankind is going to get you one way or another. And look at where we are, sending people in to be slaughtered, really, by people who have got weapons. And they can easily, say, take the Israeli situation right now. Who are you going to support? Who are you going to say, well, it's okay if those people kill those guys, but what about not letting these people kill these other?
I mean, it's a tough one right now, isn't it?
No, it's very tough, and that's a good not analogy, but it's a good point. And I was thinking about compromise. There isn't any compromise right now, it doesn't seem like, between people that maybe want to restrict guns and people that want guns. And back to the Israeli-Palestinian, this is my thought on that real quick. It's very ugly, very out of control. The Pandora's box is open. But I was thinking, what a compromise to me. Now, maybe they've talked about this already, but and I know Netanyahu's gone up. Here we go on another subject real quick. But
well, it has to do with
violence. The compromise, why can't Israel at least say, and I've been pretty pro-Israel my whole life, still am, but why couldn't they stop the settlements and actually give, because they did, they infringed on a lot of the Palestinian people and built, so why couldn't they give some of those back and then we start to have a compromise at that, you know, we will cede you back this land if blah, blah, blah. Does that make any sense?
Well,
does to us, so maybe we should be dealing.
Well, I don't know. And again, then you have the Hamas situation, which they're nutcases, in my opinion. But, point is, any kind of a compromise, even between the gun people and the not gun people. The background checks, most of the country, I think it's in almost 90%, believe there should be strict, you know, background checks.
But I don't remember the number, but a huge percentage of the states now, you can just stick a gun in your belt and walk out. You don't any kind of a permit, any kind of training,
right.
Anything. I think that a person should, at the very least, have training in when you can and when you can't shoot somebody.
Well, I just had a thought. What if we influenced all the people with guns in this country to pack them up and send them over to somebody to use in the Ukraine against Russia. I mean, come on. These are weapons of war. And we're sitting here with a government that says, well, we really need to send more weapons to these people because, you know, we're just not killing people fast enough. And so it's now turns out that it's okay to have a weapon if you're of a certain ilk, and not okay if you are the other guys. So it's all about who you perceive to be the enemy. And you can sit in your house and say, well, the enemy could knock on my door or come in at night, whoever that enemy might be, somebody out to get me. But we're talking on a grand scale here. We are creating weapons of war as fast as we can so that they have one purpose, to kill.
Right.
And we're saying, well, okay, now maybe we need to have some tanks that we can roll down the streets, you know, just to keep people in check.
Brings up another of my favorite subjects.
I mean, it's just like the whole thing is insane.
Well,
and
it is insane. There's a lot of insanity there. I will say real quick on the Ukraine situation, again, just my opinion, but I think we should be giving Ukraine all the weapons that they need to, because I think Putin
just study the rise of Hitler.
Well,
he took up one little country and then he didn't stop
there. It certainly seems.
I think it's surprising how weak Russia really is, military-wise.
Ironic or not, but the people that are against that seem to be the Christian nationalist pro-gun people that are in Congress that don't want to give Ukraine anymore right
yeah,
now. I don't get that
romance,
at all.
What is this romance with the Soviet Union? It boils down to one single thing, power, 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 power. And people who see Trump as the power, he is the one that is initiating a lot of this that people are falling in line with. It's astonishing to me that any thinking human being, but thinking I think is the word here, if you are the kind of mind that is easily led into a belief system, then you can easily be led into one that is terribly, terribly dangerous, and then you can feel self-righteous, and then just about anything goes from there. You know, you can say, well, in that case, we really need to X, Y, and Z, get a bigger gun, Maybe we need every community to have an armory, and there we go. You were going to say something in response to my comment. Did you forget it?
Which one? Oh, the tanks.
Tanks.
The tanks, yeah.
Yeah, in a lot of places, our police departments now have APCs and all kinds of, and they come out when there's a demonstration or a riot as if they're going to war. Well, then the people who are the recipients of that pick it up as a war.
Yeah.
And come back at it. Years ago, and during the pipeline in Alaska, we had a street that was called Two Street. It was actually Second Avenue, but we was Second Street. We called it Two Street, and it's where all the dive bars were. And there were probably, I don't know, six or eight on those one street. And they were fun places to go. The pipeliners could go there, who literally had money pouring out of their pockets. You know, they'd come to town with $1,000 when $1,000 was a lot of money. And they'd go in and they'd drink and have all kinds of fun until 5 o'clock when the bars close. Well, then they'd close the bars and these guys would pour out onto the street and the police were there waiting for them. For whatever reason, they didn't know, I guess. But anyway, and there would be these awful fights going on and people getting arrested and... It was a big mess. In other words, the cops whose job it was to be there at 5 a.m, they were.
But we're talking about booze now too.
So one day somebody decided, well, what if we just don't go when the bars close, and everybody just went home? There was no problems at all, you know. So what I'm saying is these tanks and things can create as much of a problem. It's my understanding that New York doesn't use those, and they are better at calling that type of thing.
As far as preventing crime?
No, not preventing crime, as far as dealing with demonstrations.
Okay, with tanks and heavy-duty weapons.
Yeah, I have one more carrying a gun story, unless I think of another one, I probably will. 6 or 7 years ago, in one of the Midwestern states, there was a woman who was killed in the supermarket by her toddler. And how old are kids when they can no longer sit in the carriage and when you're shopping? Anyway, she had gotten a brand new gun purse for Christmas. I don't know what a gun purse is, and she was a woman who was a very strong NRA advocate. She'd be on the radio being interviewed for about right to bear arms and things like that. So she put her little kid in the basket and I guess put the gun purse in the basket too, and while she was shopping, the kid got the gun out of the gun purse and killed her with it. So, which shows me two things. Evidently, a gun purse is not very good at securing a gun.
And he didn't like his mother.
And
just kidding.
She not only had a round in the chamber, but probably had the safety off, because this kid was just probably imitating. I'm sure he didn't know how to take the safety off, and this woman was a big gun advocate. I don't know why she thought that taking her kid to the grocery store required a gun.
Well, it becomes an accessory. It's like it loses the meaning of its power. If you think you can put a weapon into your handbag or whatever we're talking about here and think, well, it's just, you know, it's just like a little toy. It's like my lipstick case. I can just reach for it when I want it. I mean, We have taken all of the power out of it, out of the idea of having a gun, that it's your right to have one, you should have one, you ought to have one, we need to have one, and maybe one is not enough, and it becomes like, oh, there's a baseball bat standing in the corner, oh, there's my AK-47 standing in the corner. It's like, you know, it loses its meaning, but the power is still there. Am I making any sense here?
Yes. Well, when I first moved to Alaska, became an Alaska state trooper, at the time, the only way you could carry a concealed weapon was if you were a police officer. There were no permits. Cops, period, only. That's the only ones that could carry concealed weapons. And, of course, when I was a brand new trooper, I thought, oh, it's a big deal. I can wear a gun.
Did you ever kill anybody?
No. I think that lasted about 6 months. I said, this is a pain in the ass carrying this damn gun, and then I have to keep it concealed. I remember I went in a bar one night with my then girlfriend, and I didn't One I have it concealed or something, so I stuck it in her purse. And she sat down at the bar and put the purse down at one clunk. And she said, but anyway,
well,
yeah, most of us didn't carry off-duty weapons.
And we'll go to personal responsibility. I'll go back real quick. Surely you were talking, or we were all talking about, like, you have to have a gun. I understand gun for protecting your home. I do understand that.
Against wolves?
People coming. I mean, people do break in, violent people. So, but, you know, you should have your guns locked up. I guess my point is, if you are a parent and maybe you're in a bad neighborhood, on the compromise issue, I would say it would be okay. You lock your guns up, but at night, while you're, maybe you can unlock it, have it available in case of a break-in. That's my point of compromise. Is that right or not? I don't know. That seems logical to me for a gun owner.
But you get to the point, really, for me, and that is why people are afraid. Why would you be fearful that somebody's going to break into your house?
Because it happens.
And so why does that happen? You know, why are we, I mean, this is part of our social makeup now.
Yes.
To say maybe only the rich people should have guns, or maybe if you're poor enough and are in a so-called bad neighborhood where people are living from hand to mouth, maybe the only way they can get anything is by holding somebody up with a gun. I mean, we're missing the point altogether, I think, if we don't factor into it why people feel that they need to have a gun for their own personal protection. That's fear. Something's going to bad. It's possible it's going to happen to me, and I have to be prepared. And that's the bottom line for me.
Okay.
Like, you know, you talk to some of these people, and they'll say, well, you know, just in case, I should have a gun with me.
Yeah.
Just in case. So I question those people now. Okay, you're an adult man, 50 years old. Are you more likely to die from a heart attack or from being shot by somebody with a gun? Well, the obvious answer is a heart attack. But I don't know of any of these people that carry a defibrillator.
It's not about logic.
It's
about fear.
A good way, probably, to we're rounding down. And just real quick, I'd just like to say, we are a little disappointed that we didn't have at least one person maybe on another side. And
is there another side?
What's that?
Is there another side?
Oh, there's another side. That's what we're talking about. But, you know, so whomever's out there listening, if they want to come in, and we'd certainly welcome dissenting opinions.
Absolutely.
Yep, I agree.
And the subject will change and be something different each time.
Sure.
So.
And if you're worried about being on the radio, we're just sitting here in a room, and this is all being recorded. And after about 2 minutes, you forget the microphone is there. It's the easiest thing in the world to do.
Yeah, well, I certainly am glad to be here, but I don't want to do it all the time. Somebody needs to step up and take my spot once in a while.
Okay, we're down to the last 48 seconds, so if we could just... go around and see if anybody has a closing comment. I've said all I have to say, so I don't have any closing comments, but now we're down to 39.
Well, I just want to say this is all off the cuff, you know, so these are just our personal opinions. So if you have something to say, please don't feel like you don't have an opportunity, because you do. It doesn't have to be us every time, right?
No, it does not. Like I said, we welcome anybody to come in and vent and talk with members of the Curry Cafe.
Absolutely,
where the
coffee is always hot.
Yeah, and who knows, you may become a famous radio personality.
There you
like
go.
Ray,
yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
All right, everybody.
See ya.
Adios.
See ya.